want the Republicans to wake up is the Republican Party right now is not led by conservatives. There's a population out there that has to be told the truth. We have to do it live.
Now, from the left coast, it's another podcast edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Peter B. is curious, opinionated, and relentless in pursuit of the truth like a honeybee drawn to pollen. He's an independent progressive, ready to sting Republicans and Democrats alike when they deserve it. After years in commercial radio, Peter B. welcomes you to this audio adventure in news and politics with no corporate filter. Listeners support this program, and you can help at peterbcollins.com. Here's your humble host, Peter B.
Hey, nice going. You've downloaded the very latest from peterbcollins.com. We're supported by great listeners who subscribe to this program, and we like to name names like Cheryl Curry, Kathleen Emmer, Jeanette Iannucci, and a new subscriber deep in the heart of Georgia, Deborah Madera. Thanks to one and all.
Show business kids making movies of themselves. You know they don't give a fuck about anybody else. You know you go to while the poor people sleeping with the shade on the light. While the poor people sleeping with the shade on the light. While the poor people sleeping, all the stars come out at night.
Brad Friedman returns to our program today, the citizen journalist and publisher at bradblog.com, the number one election integrity site in the country, and he covers a lot of other important issues, too. As always, Brad, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
As always, great to be back, Peter. Thanks for having me.
So, some interesting things have developed that I'd like to catch up with you on. And you really did the most incredible job of uncovering the deceptive videos that were promoted by Andrew Breitbart, the late Andrew Breitbart, and were generated by two young people named James O'Keefe and Hannah Giles. And in these videos, they pretended to be pimp and hoe, and they were selectively edited to show them entering different offices of the defunct group ACORN, a community organizing group that did a lot of good work, including voter registration. And these videos, when they were released by Breitbart and propelled into the mainstream media by the Fox News channel, ultimately and in short order, brought ACORN down. And it was denounced by members of both parties in Congress. It was defunded before there was even any investigation or any finding that laws had been broken. And this sordid episode has reached a closure of sorts in that the former ACORN worker in San Diego, Juan Carlos Vera, has been ordered to receive a $100,000 settlement from James O'Keefe. And this may bring some closure to the episode, but as always with O'Keefe, the more you look, the more questions surface, kind of like turning over a rock and seeing all those worms crawl out.
Yeah, and James O'Keefe is one of those worms.
Mm-hmm.
only to correct one point, the fact that O'Keefe and Giles were seen as a pimp and hoe, as you described it in your opening there, that was only in the sort of the openings and the closings of the video, and that was part of the hoax that made up these videos. In fact, while she dressed as a prostitute, he never dressed as a pimp, and he never posed as a pimp. He was always her boyfriend or a friend from college or something like that. And yet, that whole pimp hook was used to really sell these videos, to let everyone know just how stupid those people at ACORN must be that they didn't recognize this 70s-era blaxploitation pimp when he walked into their offices. Well, he never did. In fact, O'Keefe and Giles, the story they told, played on the sympathy of these ACORN folks, because basically they said, hey, we are rescuing this poor young lady, this Hannah Giles, who is a prostitute. We are rescuing her from an abusive pimp. That's why we need to get her out of his house. That's why she needs to get her own house. That's why we're here, to find out what it would take to get a home loan and so forth. So the entire thing was, what happened in the Acorn offices itself was not just a hoax, but the entire way that these videos were sold to the public was a hoax. And it was a hoax that Andrew Breitbart, made millions on. In fact, these Acorn videos were released on the first day that he opened up his new website, at the time, Big Government.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of money was paid. And what a lot of people don't know, especially since Andrew Breitbart died a little over a year ago and people sort of stopped paying attention a little bit to the story, was the fact that we learned through the course of this trial that had been going on in San Diego since Juan Carlos Vera filed suit against James O'Keefe and Hannah Giles. What we learned during the course of that suit was that Andrew Breitbart paid these guys $120,000 for these videos. And more damningly, Breitbart knew about what they were doing before they did it out here in California, where it is illegal to secretly videotape people without their knowledge.
And that would make him a co-conspirator.
You bet it would.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know. I'm trying to find out from the attorney of Juan Carlos Vera if they have any interest in bringing a suit against Breitbart now that he's dead, but he still has, Breitbart.com is still up there making up fake stories and making a lot of money. So I'd like to find that out. But also, he would have been liable for criminal prosecution under California Penal Code 632, which the California Invasion of Privacy Act that both O'Keefe and Giles were given criminal immunity from in exchange for the raw videotapes that they turned over to the California Attorney General, who subsequently found there was no criminality seen on them by any Acorn worker. The only criminality seen on those videotapes was by James O'Keefe and Hannah Giles themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But, Breitbart didn't get that immunity from the California Attorney General, and had he been alive, I suspect, he could have been brought up on criminal charges at this point.
And there are many things that are really sick and twisted about this. If I were to select two, one would be that James O'Keefe still pretends to be a journalist. And his lawyer, in announcing this settlement, said that he's got a bright future as a journalist. And the other is that the corporate media took this thing hook, line, and sinker. And you spent literally months pounding on the various doors of editors and the public editor at the New York Times, trying to get them to correct the record. And you got some satisfaction there. I don't think they ever named you as the provocateur who forced them to face the facts. But they did alter their coverage, and they did issue at least one correction, did they not?
Yeah, actually, they released about, half a dozen or maybe more to different stories wherein they told the same falsehood, this notion that, he was dressed as a pimp when he went into these offices. So they did correct a whole bunch of stories finally after about 6 months of my pounding on them and, coming back with the most extraordinary excuses for not making a correction. One of them, the most notable, came from the senior editor for corrections at the New York Times, who came back and said, well, James O'Keefe wore his pimp costume on Fox News and said he wore it into the Acorn offices, so we believe him. That was the verification and the confirmation, apparently, that the New York Times had to go through to run with, this completely false notion.
Mm-hmm.
That, was quite responsible for ultimately killing Acorn. As a matter of fact, it was after the New York Times started running this story that the Congress immediately picked it up, as you said, and ended up defunding this organization, four-decade-old community organization had advocated against predatory lending practices, helped low and middle income people, millions of Americans, get into houses for the first time, helped millions of them to legally register to vote. So, yeah, it was remarkable what the mainstream media did with the story back then and to some extent are still doing now. And yet you still have, falling for this hoax, and yet you still have James O'Keefe today trying to raise money off it, trying to claim that his settlement was a settlement of a, quote, nuisance lawsuit. The fact is, he broke the law. He violated California criminal code, which also has a civil provision, and that's why when he was given criminal immunity, he was still able to be sued under the civil provisions of the California Privacy Act, and that's what Juan Carlos Vera did, and would have won, because had it gone all the way to the trial. Because the fact is that O'Keefe had been making arguments that were being thrown out by the judge that, oh, I'm a journalist, therefore I can tape anybody I want in any case. At
60 Minutes does it.
And it does not. He was laughed out of court. He even, appealed this. Now he's making the argument that it's overly broad and unconstitutional. And, the judge said, it doesn't matter whether you're a journalist or not. You cannot go in and secretly tape someone in the hopes that maybe something that is said will be evidence of a crime. And that's essentially what he was doing and what he was arguing, and he was laughed out of court. And that's why he settled for $100,000. He was smart to do it. Hannah Giles, by the way, was smarter. She settled last summer with him, with Vera, and it was not widely reported. And if you like, just before coming on air with you today, I got a bit of a scoop that I can share with you concerning the Hannah Giles settlement.
Go right ahead. Scoop it.
Well, up till now, all we know is that she settled. She threw O'Keefe under the bus and got the hell out of that lawsuit. But we haven't known the conditions of her settlement with Juan Carlos Vera down in San Diego. And I've just been able to learn an important detail on that settlement. It turns out she, Hannah Giles, agreed to pay Vera $50,000 in a settlement with him. So that, if you total it up now, $100,000 settlement from James O'Keefe, $50,000 settlement from Hannah Giles to this former Acorn worker who was inappropriately fired, who notified the police about this pair immediately after they came into their office, who committed no crimes himself. He wins $150,000 here. So there's some justice, at the same time, it cost Breitbart, $120,000? To each of these guys, to both of them collectively to run these tapes. Although I suspect in the end, Breitbart made a lot more money off of it, as well as O'Keefe and Giles, because it really made their names in the right wing fake world, fake news world.
Well, and part of that fake news world is a current Republican talking point that is treated as fact, that Acorn was the reason that we had the housing bubble that produced the meltdown in 2008. It was all those predatory borrowers that were facilitated by Acorn, and that Congress required, trying to make people get mortgages for homes they couldn't afford. It's a huge concoction. But it works for them because Acorn is gone, and there's nobody really to pipe up and say, well, wait a minute, that's not what Acorn did. So it really has become a punching bag for the political right, and it started with this very conscious effort to take it down that was hatched by O'Keefe, Breitbart, and perhaps a few others.
Yeah, well, and remember, the attempt to take Acorn down had been in place for years prior to that. I mean, I think the biggest problem that the Republicans had with Acorn was that they were registering hundreds of thousands and millions of legal American voters to participate in their democracy. And they hated that because the people they were signing up happened to be low and middle income people, and those people happen to vote for Democrats more often than Republicans. You know, so that's what that was certainly about. But, yeah, you know, this group, and even in the coverage that we're seeing in the mainstream media now, a lot of people are, you know, having a laugh at O'Keefe's expense, that he's got to cough up $100,000, and I guess that is, you know, fun to see some justice come out of this. But much more ignored is the damage that really was done to this organization, to Acorn, and, you know, all but unreported, really, was the importance of this organization to so many millions of Americans and what they did. And this notion that Acorn is somehow responsible for the predatory lending practices in this country is the truth turned upside down on its head. I guess some people would refer to that as a lie.
Yep.
You know, they were, in fact, you know, one of the loudest advocates against those predatory lending practices for years, when nobody even realized there was a concern about this. As the housing bubble was growing, Acorn was raising holy hell about that.
Now, Brad, what do you see as any potential for others, Acorn employees, who were targeted and had direct contact with O'Keefe and Giles, and those who ran the organization that was really just taken right out from under them by this concocted scheme. With these settlements of $150,000 from the two key players to one victim, are there other victims who can now make similar claims and hope to secure similar settlements?
I'm hoping so. And I don't know what the statute of limitation is on this, on the California Privacy Act. These videotapes took place in essentially summer of 2009, late summer of 2009. As far as someone within Acorn themselves, you know, the institution, I would be surprised if there were lawsuits coming forward, because there really is no institution there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they've been disbanded. But when it comes to the individuals who are affected by this directly, I would love to see there be a lot more lawsuits. Now, the suit in the case of Juan Carlos Vera in San Diego, remember, was not defamation, was not based on actually misrepresenting him in these videos, but rather it was a violation of the Privacy Act, the wiretap law out here in California. And not all of the states where they did these fake tapes have laws that require all parties who are being recorded to know about it. So California has one of those. Pennsylvania has a law like that. So there could be more lawsuits in places, because they did do the Acorn in Philadelphia, so there could be some suits there.
Mm-hmm.
There were certainly more Acorn workers here in California who were affected, who were illegally taped, you know, in violation of that same provision. I haven't gotten any word yet of anybody else ready to step forward to file more suits, but I sure as hell hope that they do.
Yeah. Now, James O'Keefe, in approving this settlement, issued a written apology through his attorneys. And then, because you're a Twitter head, you caught up with some of his tweets where he's kind of walking that back and saying, oh, just the cost of doing business. What exactly were his comments?
Well, you know, his apology, and it's been reported, you know, that he had to pay $100,000 to make an apology to Vera. The apology was pretty weak. It's basically, you know, about half a sentence in the middle of the settlement that says Mr. O'Keefe regrets any pain or suffering caused to Mr. Vera or his family. That's it. So not much of an apology. But on the Twitters, in the meantime, you know, O'Keefe has been acting like, well, this happened, but it was only because it was a nuisance. He didn't really do anything wrong. He has claimed that the media is misreporting it. As a matter of fact, he said one of his tweets was, I'll just read it here, lies and lies and more lies from the Journa fascists.
Hmm.
Want to know the truth? Then put me on TV and have the guts.
Huh.
Well, I don't have a TV show, so I can't put him on, but I certainly have the guts to have him on my radio show. I do a show for Pacifica Radio down here in Los Angeles.
Right.
I've invited him to join me on my show this on Wednesday. Apparently, he does not yet even have the guts to respond to my invitation. Go figure. apparently, that invitation, that taunt is only for people who don't know this story, who he can go on their shows and snooker them. And I suspect he knows that he won't be able to get away with that if he comes on with me.
And your colleague Ernie Canning posted an item at bradblog.com about Ed Schultz's coverage of this announcement on MSNBC last week.
Mm-hmm. He and this quoted from the appearance by Vera and his attorney, Gene Iredale, who did a great job on the suit, by the way. And basically, they responded to this fundraising letter that O'Keefe put out, you know, claiming that, he's really innocent of any wrongdoing. He has not admitted to any wrongdoing with this settlement. It was just because he's so busy with investigations, as he likes to call them, that, you know, it was more time and money than it was worth to fight it. At which time, Gene Iredale, the attorney for Juan Carlos Vera, said, okay, great. Well, if you want to get rid of the settlement and go to trial, we are ready to go tomorrow, Mr. O'Keefe. You know, this is, of course, what they do. You can expect both sides to spin it in their favor. But if you look at the actual facts, this is not a both sides issue. The fact is, James O'Keefe violated the law. He violated the criminal law and was given criminal immunity from the state of California. And he violated the civil rights of Juan Carlos Vera, who has the right to go to work to try to help people without being secretly taped, put out on the internet, and told that he is essentially a sex trafficker, which is the way they made Vera look. And this poor guy, by the way, who English is not even his first language. He was trying to understand this insane story that was told to him. He took pictures of both O'Keefe and Giles as they were talking to him so that immediately, as soon as they were done, when they left, he contacted the police and told them about this potential child sex trafficking ring that O'Keefe and Giles were indicating they were a part of. Of course, they weren't. But, you know, he did the right thing in mm-hmm. all of these steps, and he lost his job for it, and eventually everybody, tens of thousands of people at Acorn, lost their jobs for it. So, you know, O'Keefe was wrong. You know, he violated the law, and, you know, but he lives in a world where they can pretend that you know, it's just the liberal media out to get them, that they have the truth on their side. They don't. They've got bullshit on their side, and they've got media outlets who are willing to produce that, to present that bullshit without presenting the actual facts along with it.
So I don't imagine the settlement requires that O'Keefe pay this with his own money. Do you have any speculation on who will actually pay the tab for this $100,000 settlement?
You know, I don't, but he has, as far as specifically, I don't. But listen, he has been able to raise a lot of money with his hoaxes. And as when he was arrested, remember, he's already a federal criminal from this wiretap plot that went awry in a U.S. senator's office down in Louisiana a
right.
few years back.
I remember.
Yeah, and at that point, you know, he got himself a superstar, a former Bush official attorney. So, listen, these guys are stars on the right. And, you know, if you're willing to lie and make up bullshit and apparently break the law, but do it on behalf of Republicans, apparently there is no end of people who are willing to fund you for that bullshit.
And do you think that this has caused him to be any more clever? We saw his attempt to take down NPR that kind of blew up in his face, including some unwanted advances on a female producer. He really has displayed slimeball behavior across the board, but that appears to be an asset to him, as a kind of an attack dog for the Republican right noise machine.
Well, yeah, it does. And to be clear, actually, you conflated two separate stories there. One of them, the NPR story, where they, you know, took completely out of context comments from some NPR officials, and made it look like they were responding to totally different questions. That actually was a success. I should put that in quotes, a success, because it netted one of the top fundraisers for NPR and the executive director of NPR. Both of them were fired.
Yeah, well, you're right about that.
After that fake sting. So they fell for it. What you're thinking about is his sex boat sting, where he was trying to lure investigative journalist Abby Boudreau onto a boat and was going to film this, you know, kind of insane ruse where he was coming on to her with sex toys and all sorts of other things. And it was his own, one of his own people, woman by the name of Izzy Santa, who turned against him and ran out as CNN journalist Abby Boudreau was showing up and warned her, don't get on that boat. And he also, by the way, had to settle with Izzy Santa afterwards because she was fired, and he had to pay her off. I believe it was $20,000 to go away. Another former colleague of his, Nadia Naif, has also turned on him. So I think he learns some lessons along the way, refines his techniques a little bit, basically to avoid breaking the law, but not to avoid, giving a completely phony story. And even when he refines it to not break the law, he still seems to manage to break the law, as he did, at least his co-conspirators did, when they were up in New Hampshire trying to pretend that there was massive voter fraud going on during the New Hampshire primary last year. In fact, there isn't massive voter fraud going on. It infuriated the Republicans up there, who count on New Hampshire as being the first in the nation primary. And in fact, in the course of that phony sting, in fact, it looks like some of his co-conspirators did, in fact, commit fraud themselves by misrepresenting themselves and accepting ballots in the name of other people who they are not.
Well, thank you for correcting me and straightening that out, because I had filed it all in one trash folder.
I know. Believe me. I've tried to as well. But I don't want him coming after you on some bullshit charge claiming that you said that there was a sex thing with NPR. No, the sex thing was with CNN.
Thank you.
Keep the facts straight.
I'm glad you can. Now, one other little detail here is that the offending Acorn videos live on. You report that they remain available at the Breitbart website.
Well, they're at Breitbart website. They're on YouTube. More than the videos themselves, you know, it's hundreds and hundreds of articles at the website that have to do with, all of these fake stings, including the one with Juan Carlos Vero, which are, you know, completely wrong, suggesting that, you know, he's a sex trafficker. Those remain up and online and not corrected, underscoring once again that Breitbart News is not a news site, any more than Fox News is a news channel. These are not news sites. These are fake propaganda outlets. Because, well, I was going to say real news outlets would correct a story like that on this sort of information, but given what I had to go through with the New York Times, as we discussed earlier, maybe I ought to be careful about saying who is and isn't a real news site these days.
Well, as Alberto Gonzalez might say, that's a quaint notion.
Yes,
Brad.
Exactly.
Now, the Breitbart site is taking it on the chin as we speak today, because they have falsely reported, they fell for a spoof, that New York Times columnist, Nobel Prize-winning economist, and professor at Princeton, Paul Krugman, has filed for bankruptcy.
Yes. Yeah. Is there no story too stupid for them to fall for? Larry O'Connor, one of their editors over there, ran with this story that was from the Daily Courant, which is a satirical website. It's like The Onion. The Daily Courant had a story saying that, Paul Krugman was filing for bankruptcy because he found that Keynesian economics didn't really work on the microeconomic level or something like that. And it was, kind of an amusing story. But, Breitbart.com, not known for their fact-checking, ran this story, against their one of their top nemesis, Paul Krugman, ran it as if it was real, as if he actually did file for bankruptcy. And instead, by the way, we can all make mistakes. But instead of correcting that mistake, with a note or a retraction along with a note explaining that we got the story wrong, they just made it disappear. It's now, if you go to that story, it's error 404, page does not exist, it mm-hmm. never happened, these aren't the droids you're looking for. That's how they correct things. Look, a couple weeks ago, you recall Ben Shapiro, again, one of their top young boys at Breitbart.com, put the story out about Chuck Hagel and his ties to Friends of Hamas.
Yeah, right.
The non-existent charity group that supports Hamas. Well, that story is still on their site, also uncorrected, despite the fact that Friends of Hamas doesn't exist. Breitbart.com stands by that story even today.
Well, they're in their own universe, not just their own world, and there are very few challenges that come from within. And they appear to be pretty deaf to any challenges that come from outside.
And the problem is, they're sort of in their own truth world, their own truth universe, but they're not in their own world. They're not in their own universe. We have to live in this world with them.
Do we?
Yeah.
Oh.
So as it turns out, you got half of Congress who also lives in that world, who also, believes in the bullshit that they publish. And that is, no small part of why we're facing this dysfunction in this country and in this Congress that we are. You remember just a couple of days ago, there was this report, I think it was by Ezra Klein at Washington Post, who had no idea that Barack Obama was offering spending cuts as part of his, attempt to solve the sequester nonsense. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about, senior elected officials in Congress who had no idea that he had long ago offered many cuts, and they're up on his website today. And they were operating on the notion that, Barack Obama just insists on raising our taxes, that's it, he won't cut anything. Complete and utter bullshit, but we all have to pay the price for that, because they live in Fox News world, where they don't report that Obama has put forward many spending cuts, too many, by the way.
Yes, amen.
That these Acorn videos were phony, and that O'Keefe just agreed to a $100,000 settlement. Fox News viewers, Breitbart.com readers, have no idea. And fine, to hell with them, I don't care. But the fact is, we have to live in this world with these people who are so unbelievably disinformed that they end up breaking the whole system. And that's what we're stuck with.
And one of the most refreshing recent moments was when Congressman Keith Ellison, the Democrat from Minnesota, went on Sean Hannity's show and spent 6 minutes just ripping him apart.
Yes.
The worst excuse for a journalist I've ever seen.
Yes.
And while I didn't fully agree with the argument that Ellison was making, that Obama wasn't the father of the sequester idea, I loved every minute of it.
Yes. One of those rare moments when the truth makes its way onto Fox News. And, of course, what did Hannity do in response? The next day he ran a fake expose on Keith Ellison, suggesting that he was involved with Muslim terrorists.
I missed.
That's how they get their payback, man.
Wow, I missed the payback. I'll have to look for that.
Oh, yeah. It was ugly. It was ugly. It was pathetic. But that's what they do in some of those rare instances when the truth accidentally makes its way onto Fox News.
Brad, I want to ask you about two other things briefly. The president, in his State of the Union message, brought in a 90-something-year-old woman who had had to wait hours online in Florida to vote in the November elections. And he announced a commission or some sort of a study group to be headed by his campaign's lawyer and the Romney campaign's lawyer, the long-term Republican consigliere, Ben Ginsburg. And they seem to have a very narrow focus, which is just to prevent long lines. And that relates to important issues like the games that were played with early voting. But it doesn't address the games being played with photo voter IDs and many other ways that Republicans have used their leverage, particularly in state legislatures, to limit participation by people likely to vote Democratic. So what is your take on this new commission? I haven't heard a word about it since the State of the Union message.
Well, you recall a year, I think it was 2005, Peter. We spent quite a bit of time talking about how inappropriate it was for James Baker at the time to head up a National Election Reform Commission with co-chair Jimmy Carter.
Right.
And you remember that James Baker, the then consigliere to the Bush dynasty, was the one who went to the Supreme Court basically to get them to stop counting the votes of voters in Florida back in 2000. And my argument was that you couldn't find a more inappropriate person to head up a National Election Commission. Now, that commission was privately put together by a bunch of right-wingers who were calling themselves the American Center for Voting Rights. They were really, you know, high Bush officials, and the whole thing was in order to push for photo ID. The entire commission itself was a scam. But back there in 2000, at that same time, you had Ben Ginsburg, the guy who has now been tapped by Obama to co-chair this new commission. Now, it's an official commission, and it's being put together by the president. But it's, I would argue, equally inappropriate to have a Ben Ginsburg heading such a commission. Nonetheless, he is, along with the Obama attorney, Bob Bauer. You know, I don't think we need another commission. I think we saw what happened in the 2012 election. We saw all the problems that went on. I understand that Obama is essentially trying to get Republican buy-in for, you know, election reform, at the very least, to do something about these lines, because it was clearly an embarrassment, frankly, even for Republicans. You know, even Rick Scott down in Florida, the guy who caused all of these lines by shortening early voting days, has come out with his findings that the reason we had these long lines is because we need to extend early voting days. And that's what he's calling for in Florida after he initially called for them to be shortened. I'm sure they'll be extending them in time for the 2014 elections and for his election, by the way. But, you know, we don't need another commission. We know what the problem is. What we need is, you know, some functional a functional Congress, frankly, to do something about it. But I want to make sure Ben Ginsburg doesn't get off the hook here for one other thing, which is 2004, after Ginsburg had worked with Bush Cheney in their 2000 election, he was also part of their 2004 election commission until he had to resign in disgrace after it turned out that he was simultaneously giving advice to the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth.
Oh, yeah.
The group that went after John Kerry with a whole bunch of lies.
Mm-hmm.
It was at the time a nonprofit 527 organization. They're supposed to have no coordination whatsoever with the campaign. And here was Ben Ginsburg, top election attorney who knows these laws or should know them inside and out, actually violating the laws to work with the Swift Boat folks while he was working for Bush Cheney. And despite, you know, the fact that there was no law, they weren't interested in breaking in that campaign, even they had to agree that Ginsburg went too far, and they forced him to resign from that campaign back in 2004. And yet, here he is, tapped by President Obama to run an election reform commission. Keep all of that in mind.
Now, if I could get you nominated to that commission, would you serve?
I would, if asked, I would serve in a heartbeat. Absolutely. Even with Ben Ginsburg across the table, by the way.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to see you there. Well, finally, Brad, I want to ask about the mayoral election in your hometown of Los Angeles last week, because I've been following this a little bit from the modest distance away here in the Bay Area, and it seemed like a pretty heated race with the two leading candidates, Wendy Gruhl and Garcetti. I heard that something like $20 million was spent on TV ads, so Angelenos had to know what was going on. And the voter turnout was below 20%. Wasn't it like 17?
Yeah, it was really low.
Now, can you explain it? I think there was also a tax-raising ballot measure that was repudiated by the voters. But I would think that, the race for mayor of Los Angeles would be important enough that at least a third of registered voters would show up and participate.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you. A lot of the time, and I hear from a lot of, good government groups, good democracy groups who are out there saying, we need to do this or that to increase voter turnout. We need to allow vote by mail, even though that's the way. When voter fraud does happen, it happens by vote by mail. Or we need to do instant runoff voting, ranked choice voting, which is another, terrible idea. Or
yeah.
Internet voting, another horrible idea, because we need to increase turnout. Well, I've argued that, I don't think it's too hard for most people to vote. It's that you're not giving them anything to vote for. And the fact that you had down here in Los Angeles, Gruhl and Garcetti, whose pretty much, positions on the issues are indistinguishable from each other,
mm-hmm.
doesn't really give many people something to go out and vote for or against. And, and now we have this top two primary in California. So
right.
It was pretty clear that it was either going to be Garcetti or Gruhl. And I suspect that a lot of voters just looked at this and said, well, I don't care. Either one of them is fine by me, because, frankly, neither of them gave any reason to anybody out here, as far as I could tell, out in Los Angeles, an actual reason to go vote. Nobody cares.
And I know that you would not shirk your civic duty. My only question is, did the machine flip your vote?
Of course, I will never know. But by the way, when it comes to civic duty, I've long argued that I don't care if you vote or not. I kind of think it's incumbent, and I know that's a lot of people are surprised to hear that. But I think a lot of people, I think not voting is in and of itself a vote.
True.
And,
yeah.
It's kind of like a none-of-the-above vote for many people. So, I don't think there's anything wrong with not voting. To another extent, for those people who are interested in turnout, fine, make it mandatory, but put none-of-the-above on the ballot and see how that works out. As far as whether my vote flipped, there will never be any way of knowing, and that is exactly the problem. Even down here in Los Angeles, where we have mostly paper ballots, I can put whatever I want on that ballot. How it's counted, no one will ever know. That's a really big problem, and I am trying to do something about that, however, and something specific down here in Los Angeles, which I suspect, or at least I hope, we'll be able to talk about in a future show.
All right. Well, Brad, it's always great to catch up with you, and there is some closure here on the O'Keefe case. I hope that the closure gets even bigger, and that more people demand settlements from this guy, because he is a deceptive individual, a provocateur, not a journalist, and we need to be vigilant about that, because he's already done a whole lot of damage.
Yeah, and by the way, he's not just a provocateur, he's a criminal, he's a federal criminal, and frankly, he deserves to be in jail. Jerry Brown, now our governor, then our attorney general, should have never given him a criminal immunity for having broken the law in exchange for those raw tapes. That's what subpoenas are for. So I'll hold Jerry Brown accountable for that one as well.
All right. Brad Friedman, bradblog.com. Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
So the moral of the story is, if James O'Keefe points a camera at you, run. Run fast. That-a-way.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.